The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance, along with Del, being joined by the head coach of your Houston Cougars, Major Applewhite, with us here on ESPN 97.5. Coach, how are you?
I'm great. How you doing, John?
I'm doing well, but I'm watching some Temple highlights right now. Coach, and I got to say this. They look like a good that's a good football team right there, and they're led by an Italian at quarterback. So you better watch out.
He's playing really well.
He is Anthony Russo.
Let me guess. He's definitely recruited from the New Jersey area.
I would imagine.
I would imagine.
No, but he can fling it around a little bit. That's a good football team, Coach.
Very good. They're playing really well right now. You know, three out of their last four they've won. Their only loss being Central Florida at Central Florida. It was basically a touchdown game until late, but playing great football. And like you said, you know, their quarterback Russo is really coming alive. You know, since they won that game against Maryland about five, six games back, he's just been playing really well.
Well, let's go backwards to the SMU game. We talked about it, how you weren't taking SMU lightly by any stretch of the imagination, and you don't take anyone lightly. SMU jumped out, got on you quickly in the first half, and that was just enough for SMU to just kind of ride that out in a second half. Talk about why the slow start last Saturday.
Well, we didn't come out and play well offensively and defensively at the same time. You know, it's been kind of a timely deal on both sides. Whether we're, you know, struggling offensively, we're lighting it up. You know, defensively, or you know, Tulsa, we were playing well enough in the first half when we weren't moving the ball. You know, then we started moving the ball well in the second half. Same thing in the Navy game. And, you know, we did not play well. They came out, they got below us, you know, just watching film, you know, the Sunday and Monday afterwards. They played more aggressive than we did. They got lower. They out-physicaled us at point of attack in a lot of situations. And, you know, we got behind on the scoreboard. And, you know, like good teams do, you go in at halftime and you regroup. And, you know, we got back within the score twice in the second half and wasn't able, with 9.5 minutes left down seven, to be able to get a stop and go down and score again. I thought we had flipped momentum when we made it, you know, 38-31. But ultimately, Lance, I mean, losses all look the same. You know, there's times where you don't take care of the football. There's times where you don't play good red zone defense. You don't take the ball away enough. But usually it comes from both sides of the ball not playing well at the same time, and we got ourselves in a deficit.
So, you know, Ed Oliver was a late scratch last week, and then considered day-to-day here. I know there's already some whispers like, is this going to be it for Ed? Is he going to try to protect himself for the rest of the year? What should we expect? Tell us about the injury and what we should expect from Ed's availability for the rest of the year.
Yeah, it's just day-to-day knee contusion. He's been practicing some this week on Tuesday and yesterday. He's moved around well. I focus on the guys that I know are going to play. That's where I have to put my brain. If he can play, great. He's a great football player. He'll be ready to roll. I know he'll do great things for his team. But we have to go with the guys that are that are known commodities in terms of these guys can play. They've been healthy in practice. These are the guys we're investing our time in.
Major Applewhite with us here on ESPN 97.5. It's a difficult thing now. We see Nick Bosa shut it down, coach, because he's, you know, and as a head coach, you know, you got to worry about the guy's future. But obviously, your job is to win football games at the University of Houston. How do you balance those two things?
Well, I mean, Nick, every situation is different. Like, you know, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, it's not fair or right or accurate to compare everything to Nick Bosa.
No.
You know, I mean, he's got his own set of circumstances. I don't know what his injury is. We don't know the severity of it. I'm sure the three of us right now could tell you the severity of it and what his doctors are telling him and what he needs to do in surgery, what he needs to do in terms of rehab. Ed has a different injury. Ed has a different, you know, different set of circumstances, period. So I don't, you know, I go by what I see and what people do. And his involvement with his meetings, how he's been around his teammates on the sideline, South Florida and SMU, what he's done in practice this week tells me that Ed Oliver is all about this team and wanting to get healthy so he can play. So that's what I go off of. I don't worry about Nick.
And I'm not saying I'm not saying that, but Leonard Fournette sits out. And we saw Jalen Smith for Notre Dame get injured in a bowl game, and a lot of people say, "Why are you playing?" There's a lot of business decisions.
You know, I don't like that because football, that was a freak accident, and I understand when you get to the bowl games or whatever. You know, Tom Herman had a lot of guys sit out that shouldn't have been sitting out, and I know it did not sit well with him, and you know Coach Herman, obviously, Major. But, I mean, you know, football is a sport that is there's an element of risk, and I just don't think you can play the sport not to get hurt all the time like Jadeveon did his junior year at South Carolina, or was it sophomore? Yeah, junior year at South Carolina. I don't know, Major. I'm just not a fan, and I'm not accusing Ed Oliver of that. I'm just saying in general.
Well, it's you know, it ain't always about the money, but it's always about the money. Yeah. And coaches want guys to play because coaches want to win. And kids don't want to play because they want to make their money in the NFL draft. And everybody understands both sides of it. And until you're able to play earlier in the draft and put yourself out earlier, kids are going to be in this situation. And I understand not wanting to let them in the league and all this stuff early, but, you know, to me it's about the right to make money. You know, and I think you can eliminate some of these situations if kids have the right to go make money. You know, whether it's they're 19 or 20 years old, whatever it is, if they're valued and they're that good of a player, let them go play.
Major Applewhite here with us on ESPN 97.5. And we talked about the defense and Ben Hicks. It's the second time at SMU that Ben Hicks was able to have a big game, Coach. But offensively, it didn't seem – I mean, we were singing the praises last week and all the points scored and everything else. Just 69 offensive plays. That's not Cougar football, is it?
No, we didn't stay on the field in the first half. You know, we got in a situation where, you know, they did some different things defensively with some things that we have seen. You know, we had a plan for it. We didn't execute it all the time. And, you know, we punted the ball more in the first half than I think we have in most any game this year. And like I said, when you're not staying on the field, your defense has 52 snaps in the first half, you're going to have some points scored against you when you have to snap, you know, play defense 52 snaps in the first half. And like I said, halftime, everybody comes back in. We regroup. We get to score game twice. With 9.5 minutes to go, and we're down 7, and we've got to have a great defensive stop, and we've got to go score to tie the game up or take the lead, and that's what we didn't do. We didn't finish. So we got practice today, Thursday practice, and we talked to the guys yesterday. Hey, week of preparation is like a game. You got to go finish it. So we got to have a great day of practice. Be ready to roll at 6:00 on Saturday.
And still everything ahead for you. I mean, the conference is still there for your taking. You're still in the driver's seat.
The guys know that. They have phones. They can look things up. They get it. We don't spend a lot of time talking about it, just talking to the team. Hey, this is a reality. Yes, all of our dreams, destiny is still in your hands, all that kind of stuff. But none of that stuff matters except for Temple. If you don't handle Temple, none of that stuff that your mom or your girlfriend or you're reading on Twitter, none of that stuff matters. So all that destiny in your, you know, it's about Temple. Get focused to beat Temple. This is a good ball club. Won 3 of their last 4. One of them was against Central Florida that they lost. They're really good. They're playing well on offense. So, yes, the players have to prepare themselves mentally. We got to do a great job as a coaching staff of helping them.
That's it. That's Major Applewhite right here. Saturday, 6:00 at the state, TDE.
Homecoming.
I don't know what. It's homecoming?
Yeah, my dad's going.
He's
coffee, Lance. We're honoring the 1968 team and the 1978 team.
My dad's first year in college football was 1978. He went from high school at Lamar Consolidated. You know, I found out he quit. I didn't even realize this. He quit when he was at Abernathy because he, on his goal list, he's in his 20s. And I was 2 years old, and he said, I was 4 years old. He said, I want to be a coach for a 4A football team in Texas. So he quit a head coaching job in high school in Abernathy, which is 2A. So he could, and he got, with no, he just said, this is my goal. So I got to quit. No safety net. He got hired at Lamar Consolidated, 4A. Within 2 years, he got a chance at University of Houston with Billy Willingham as the O-line coach. He was, my dad was assistant O-line coach. And his first year, they're playing Joe Montana in what should have been a lock cinch win in a Cotton Bowl. And of course, that went the other way. But they're honoring that team. So my dad is coming down here. He had knee replacement surgery, but he wants to see the old players so badly that he's going to suck it up and get down here and be part of the tailgate and go check that out. So he's really excited about it, Major.
Awesome. Well, it's great, man. They've got a bunch. I've spoken to some of the people that have put that together, and there's a lot of players and coaches coming back from both of those teams, so it's going to be a great day for everyone.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. That's going to be a lot of fun. And, Major, go get those Temple Owls, and we will talk to you again next week.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Thanks, Lance.
All right, we'll see you,
Major. Go Cougs.
Go Cougs. I knew he wouldn't forget.
Go John Cougs. Brings up his people. We got an Italian quarterback, so it could be tough.
Anthony Russo. What do you think?
Anthony Russo. I think his mom makes a gravy.
You're damn right she does.
She's got her own gravy recipe that she got from a grandmother, either hers or her husband's.
Passed down. What do you think?
Yeah, well, obviously. I'm just going completely off of, you know, stereotypes of movies and TV shows and you over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a Sugar Rosa?
Oh, yeah.
I know you do because I've had it before. John's got, you know this, Del? John's got his own little tomato gravy he makes.
Yep.
He's got his own little recipe. Have you ever tasted it? No, Del's he brings us nothing.
Oh, yeah.
He used to bring in pork chops.
I brought it before here, Del.
I think I've had it once.
It's been years.
It's been years for you. Yeah. He's brought it in when you weren't around.
Yeah, he brought in like...
when you were doing your penance over at that other station.
When you're doing time.
Yeah.
I'm going to get out of here. What I do? What's the first thing you're going to eat? Oh, Granado Sugarosa. His red gravy's amazing. I can't wait. That's the first thing I'm going to have in a milkshake
over here, when I get out. It's just ketchup and ramen noodles.
Oh, man.
That's what $7.90 was for Lance, ketchup and ramen noodles.
When I first got there the first year, they had Fogo de Chao would come on Fridays. I'm like, this is okay. This is going to be, we're going to be all right.
Or that gravy that Hoffy pushes from the market here. You see that?
No.
He's always, I mean, every year he pushes this gravy that these nuns make or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, from the Nutcracker thing.
Yeah.
He's always pushing.
Stop
something.
Already. You make your own.
If you're a guy.
Just stop embarrassing yourself by getting, okay, I love the nuns. Don't get me wrong.
What if
don't
there
get
were
me
nuns,
wrong.
What if there were nuns in Brooklyn? I bet they're pretty good there.
I bet, you know what? I bet they make a nice gravy, but I'm going to go with mine, okay? That's all I'm saying.
If you ever get stuck at the Nutcracker extravagant, whatever it is, because my wife said, can you get tickets? And Ken Hoffman got us tickets 1 year. And so I went and with her, and I was like, holy crap. But I will tell you this. If you're going to go and you're a guy, you're going to be bored, but there is a bazillion samples of different honeys, jams, jellies. I don't know about beef jerky. Doesn't really feel like a nutcracker market thing, but you better get your sample on to make it worth your time. It's not really for dudes. Not really. I mean, you might like it okay. There's some things that look okay, but it's not really. I'm just warning you. If your wife says, "Hey, will you go to the Nutcracker market?" You better make sure that there's a little quid pro quo. It needs to be a little give and take. You say, "I'll do that if you do this."
Right, a little give and take.
But
there
need to be something that Alabama and LSU fans have to each other. Not that.
You know, we have to draw the line somewhere, though, Lance, okay?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go with mine, my gravy, and that's it.
Yeah. No. I'm not telling you to buy a gravy at the Nutcracker.
I'm not doing
Suite.
That.
I'm just saying,
we're not doing that.
You know, get some nachos if you have to go spend your 3 hours there.
Wait. What nachos are you talking about?
Yeah. What?
Which nachos?
I don't like
you have
talking
different,
about nachos.
You have different definitions.
I'm not talking about a plate.
Oh.
Oh. You there's get nachos at the Nutcracker?
Yeah, if you have to go there, it should be like I said, I'll do that if you do this. Yeah. That's what marriage is, Dale.
A back and
it's
forth.
It's just bargaining.
You're trading
Ask
off
John.
Things.
Oh, marriage is a lot about bargaining. I'll go to the store if you do this. I'll do this if you do this.
So
it's
what
a lot of
does
bargaining.
That make you?
I'll do this if you do that. I
can't believe you haven't gotten married yet, Dylan.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking. Yeah, that seems like a great thing to do.
814 ESPN 90.
Throwing some kids, too.
Yeah, kids. Yeah. You need to have like five or six, like 12 like Lance.
Let me tell you something right now. Men's T Clinic. One of the things that Men's T Clinic does is it helps in a variety of ways. And if your testosterone is, let me tell you what testosterone does for you when you're in your 20s and 30s. It's what helps maintain your lean muscle mass. When you lift, you see results, right? And you hang on to those results until you stop lifting, and it'll start to slowly, move backwards on you. Well, when you are low in testosterone, you don't get the same results necessarily, and B, more importantly, you don't keep those same results. Like, you have to work twice as hard just to get close to the same results. When your testosterone level is where it should be, not only is the lean muscle mass much better, when you work out, your workouts are going to matter more for you. Your energy level is going to be substantially better, not just for your workouts, but for getting through the day. Your mental acuity is sharpened when your testosterone level is where it's supposed to be. You have better drive, better determination. It can have an impact positively on your libido, on your workplace effort. And I'm going to tell you, the bottom line is, don't be a couch potato. Go out and live your life. The best way to live your life is getting your testosterone back where it should be, so your weekends are fun and not just, I just got to recharge and rest every weekend. Well, then you're just working, you're just living to work instead of working to live. Make sure that you go to Men's T Clinic and get your testosterone checked out. If you are in that funk and you need to get back to where you once were in your 20s and 30s, they can do it for you. Mensteeclinic.com. Four locations in the Houston area. They also have weight loss helpers that you can look into, as well as B12 injections. They do a lot in the Men's T Clinic. In a location in Cypress, they even have the IV drips now. So there's so much going on at these locations. For more information, go to mensteeclinic.com and find a location nearest you.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Dell, Ian Book out. Notre Dame quarterback. What does this mean?
What happened to him?
Ribs. I believe it's a rib problem.
He got beat up against Northwestern?
Yeah.
Well, they're playing Florida State. You think Brandon Winbush could find a way not to lose them at home?
Does it change your thoughts on the line? I wonder what the line change is.
If he's not healthy for the Syracuse game, it changes my thoughts. That game's a neutral site game in Yankee Stadium. If he's not available for that one, which is probably the reason he's not playing against Florida State, to get him ready or healthy, I would have some concerns about Notre Dame winning that Syracuse game. I don't think Brandon Winbush is really good, any good. But they're at home against Florida State. Brandon Winbush should be able to win that game.
You would think. Brandon Winbush won a couple of games early on, and then they made the change, and it's been smooth sailing ever since. I don't know if they took this off the board because of that, or if the line has changed in any way, shape, or form. No, 17.5.
That's a lot of points.
That's a lot of points with Brandon Winbush.
I know Florida State's defense...
How could you get so bad so fast?
People say the new Aggie coach led to that. People say Jimbo was the reason. The thought was the whole staff quit on the team last year. Like, staffers were leaving in the middle of the practice, and GAs had to finish practices because guys were just, all right, we're done here. They pretty much quit on recruiting when Jimbo knew he was on the way out.
Filthy whore mouth.
I'm telling you.
None of this is true.
Well,
Aggie coach wouldn't do something like that.
All I'm saying is that's what people on the Florida State side have said. That staff quit on the season. They stopped doing their jobs in the middle, and that's why that Florida State team is as bad as it is.
Well, that's what you think.
No, that's what they think. It's not what I think.
Apparently, but you're repeating all filth and flarn.
You explain it. How do they get so bad? How come there are no offensive linemen who
play? I have no idea how Florida State doesn't just reload every year.
Well, I mean, you got a lot of competition there with Florida and Miami, too. And you got
always have
like LSU, Georgia, all the SEC teams know certain guys in Florida are difficult to deal with. They sometimes end up at USF and UCF. That's why those teams aren't always fun to play either.
No.
But I mean, Florida State, it's kind of like being Texas or Texas A&M. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday who is in football, and he said, and we were talking about Tom Herman. This guy's not a Tom Herman fan. He does think highly of Jimbo Fisher, and he talked about, he said, yeah, but Texas A&M, you know, they're always going to struggle with trying to compete for all the top players in Texas. And I just thought, I just don't agree with that. Like, you shouldn't on paper. You play in a very strong conference, and that has had a positive impact on their recruiting. A&M's had some good recruiting classes. But I don't see, like, why couldn't Texas A&M have great facilities? You have a good college town. You know, people have different definitions of, but I think it's a good college town. I mean, if you compare it to Austin, it depends on if Austin's your kind of town or not. Well, Austin right now is jammed.
Is a city.
It's gotten so, it really is. Yeah. This is a college town.
Yeah.
College Station is. Great facilities. Very good head coach who has taken people into the pros and has a championship under his belt. I don't agree with the thought that, And I understand that everyone's gone into Texas forever to try to compete for players. That's nothing's new. LSU tries to come into Texas.
No, always.
Oklahoma. That nothing's new. But there is enough talent in the state of Texas that the Texas A&M, who, by the way, has cranked out pretty decent NFL talent, especially draft picks on the offensive line. I mean, you know, a lot of first round, Myles Garrett, Seta Bowie, Jermaine Ifedi, Luke Jokel, you can say whatever you want about how they've progressed or whatever. Those are four first rounders. Since I've been just doing the draft stuff for NFL, I've had like every single year there's been a first rounder for the Aggs. I don't think last year they didn't have one. But there's A&M's getting their fair share of talent. And I don't think that being at A&M should preclude you from getting the top players at all. I don't see why it would.
Mm-mm.
I don't see what the negative about being at A&M is. Yeah, you got a lot of competition, but everyone's got a lot of competition in Florida. Ohio State, I would think, has, you know, a huge advantage in that state. Alabama has a huge advantage in that state. But Ohio has a bunch of players. Alabama, I don't think, has a ton of players. Nick Saban goes out and gets them from Texas and other states, too.
Do you think that the negative, I mean, as negative as people have been about Texas A&M, maybe hurts. I mean, all the jokes and the Aggie jokes farm animals and all that.
So
crap.
I grew up with it, right? In the Southwest Conference. I grew up since I was 8 years old when my dad was at U of H. You knew all the stuff with Texas was a stereotype, TCU and A&M. So everyone's had these stereotypes. Houston had to deal with a big stereotype about being the first school with black quarterbacks and people and having a predominantly black roster. That was a really big deal where people use that as negative recruiting in Southwest Conference for other, you know, players from Westlake and stuff like that. Don't go to U of H.
Which is why U of H kicked so many black players all their asses for a while in the Southwest Conference.
But you know, the thing about A&M is I think a lot of that stuff is some of it is overdone. If I'm being honest about it, I've got friends who went to A&M.
I go to
A&M every year, once or twice a year for watch tape at A&M or my parents, their coaching clinic they have. And I think there was a time where I just think A&M has evolved. I don't think players necessarily see it in the same way. Kevin Sumlin went out and hired a guy named Ash DeWalt I don't want to say the company name because I don't want to screw it up, but the whole thing he does is branding. So you remember when you used to see the videos of them coming on like the Ag swag type of stuff that someone wanted to have the swag copter and things that people started kind of goofing on after a while there's nothing goofy to the players. I can tell you that it helped with recruiting. Mm-hmm. It brought A&M. He wanted to rebrand as the cool, you know, don't think of it as this university or that university. He wanted to rebrand. So he did, you know, his whole locker room, the way it was done, wrapping the facility with a certain type of wrap, meaning, you know, when I say that, I mean certain imaging and branding. It was
the uniforms.
Kevin Sumlin went, yes, the uniforms are a big deal to players.
Huge.
Kevin Sumlin went out of his way to say, we need a rebrand at Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. And he did that, and that was a really, really big deal. It's not going to get talked about much in public circles, but in private circles with coaches and things like that, that was a really big deal for recruiting 16, 17, and 18
year olds. Well, and you can say what you want about Summy and his tenure at Texas A&M. It was a huge success. The transition from the Big 12 into the SEC with the facilities that Summy had to build. I mean, he went through all of that. It ain't easy. Ask Dana about going from the Big East into the Big 12. You need a totally different player. A totally different player. Summy, the first luncheon that he had, I was emceeing for him. He said, first thing we got to do, we go, you know what? I'm going into places with 100,000 seat stadium. You know what we need? More seats here. That's what we need here. Yeah. And he started immediately. That locker room, the imaging, like you said, the uniforms, the facilities for the team, their playroom, whatever it is, the barbershop chair.
Everything was done to appeal to players in recruiting.
That's right. And he did all of that. Yeah. Now, he may not have won, and Summy may not. I don't know. you can say whatever you want about Summy. And he may not. He didn't have all the success that everybody wanted him to have on the field. But that transition was not an easy. With all the stuff that had to be done at Texas A&M, Summy was the perfect guy for it.
Yeah, I didn't think. You know, there was a time where I thought A&M is a tough sell to certain African-American players or players where they're, you know, depending on where they're coming from or whatever. I think that's outdated, to be honest with you. I think it's been outdated for a little bit now. And I do think that they have, from a branding standpoint, and just the campus, I think it's just a little different. Look, they've got, there's always going to be people who don't care for a lot of their, the culture, who don't care for some of the tradition. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be for everyone, and I get that. But I don't think there's anything wrong with having traditions in college football. That's where in college basketball and football, that's where traditions are really grown and built more than any other sport, is through college basketball and through college football. And I think it's fine. Will it always land with everybody? No. Are there some that's going to, you know, be sources of derision? Yeah, probably burying the dogs and doing a chalkboard where you say what the score is and things like that, if they're still doing that. People are going to crack on you. That's just how it is. I don't think it's keeping players from going to A&M. I think that those days are, I don't think that's even a concern, to be honest with you.
All right, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. We got to talk right now.
I'm surprised a bunch of Aggies or Longhorns didn't just call
in. Well, come on.
713-780-3776.
Well, maybe they're a little hungover because they didn't take their Thrive. That's on them, okay? That is on them. If you're going to drink an entire beer, you put your ring into a pitcher and then you chug it down, what I think you need to do is get Thrive, okay? DecideThrive.com. DecideThrive.com. Scientists, PhDs, they've done Ivy League, a PhD. They designed these pills. You take three after you've been drinking. I don't care how much you've been drinking. No one is advocating everyone binge drinking. That's not what we're talking about here. Even just a couple of glasses of wine, and you are not going to feel your best the next day. They are guaranteeing that you will feel 50% better or you get your money back. That's a guarantee, okay? Get your money back. Here's the deal. Is these guys know how to make you feel better the next day. If part of the reason that you don't even want to have a glass of wine or two is because you're not going to feel as good the next day, DecideThrive.com. DecideThrive.com. It's a Houston-owned and operated company, so you will have, if you order by 3 o'clock today at DecideThrive.com, you will have your pills tomorrow. That's right. DecideThrive.com. That's DecideThrive.com. Feel better. Trust me about this thing, because I know this is something I know about. DecideThrive.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Please stand by. LSU fan came stuck his flag in my booty.
In my booty.
That has nothing to do with A&M, sir.
No.
Well, LSU has been doing that to A&M since they got into the SEC.
Ooh.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
I wish Del wasn't lying.
Yeah. That's something that needs to change at A&M. Got to get that monkey off. They're back.
If you could, any A&M fan could be that guy and be like, well, yeah.
LSU fan can't suck his spike in my booty.
My booty.
I don't want A&M fans saying that after their game.
That's not, and by the way, that dude is not an A&M fan.
Well, no. All I'm saying is if an A&M fan said that, well, they kind of, metaphorically, they've been doing that since you got into the SEC.
Yeah, but that's not how they would say it, okay?
How would they say it?
They would say...
Well, John's about to stereotype A&M fans. Look out.
I'm not going to say how the A&M, because we're the station for your Aggies right here on ESPN 97.5. They would say, an LSU fan stuck his finger in my bootay.
I don't think they're going to talk like that
That's
either.
How they talk like. That's what they talk like now at Texas A&M. They're the ones they're in the SEC now. They're the ones that are entitled now. Texas fan is now down to earth compared to A&M fan.
Texas fan is blue collar now.
Yep.
An A&M fan is hoity-toity SEC.
Yep.
Is that what's happened?
Right.
Is that what you're telling me?
Wait a minute.
It's been a paradigm shift.
You heard this guy?
An LSU fan came stuck his spike in my booty.
And you think hoity-toity?
Well,
that's Alabama. It's a different
one. Yeah.
They're the bell cow for the SEC, though.
Yeah, but that's why. That's why. Because they got that fan. Okay? That kind of fan.
A little harder.
Let's get Steven in here. Let's talk about Texas A&M. What do you say, Steven?
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking the call. You guys, the show's awesome. I listen to y'all pretty much every morning on the drive in. So.
Thanks, Steve.
Just wanted to weigh in real quick. Don't want to take up too much time. I played football. I was one of the Sherman's first recruits. And so I played there from 2009 to 13. And so we got a little bit of someone in there as well. But I was hearing y'all talking about the facilities and everything. And so my experience was that a lot of that was being planned while Sherman was there. And so I don't want to, I don't want you guys to, not give any respect to, the opportunity that Sherman kind of presented for A&M and kind of started all that. So I just wanted to weigh in on that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And now I do think that certain elements of the branding were specifically Coach Sumlin's. And let's not gloss around the fact Sherman, Sumlin, look, Johnny Manziel got a lot of stuff built. Johnny Manziel got a lot of money into that program. Mm-hmm. Johnny Manziel, the influx of Johnny Manziel into A&M and A&M into the SEC and subsequent big season, the very first year in, thanks to in large season. Part to Johnny for that season, was, let's face it, they call it, the house or the at least the room addition that Johnny built. I mean, I know it was in the works, and I know fundraising had been going on previously with Mike Sherman, but that has been with Sherman all the way into Sumlin and with Jimbo. A&M has really changed, I think, and they're current with the landscape of college football. They were behind, I think, for some of the years with RC and some of that, But that's not a problem. And Mike Sherman. When we talked about Mike Sherman's ability to bring in top talent, you look at, Kevin Sumlin had some talented guys too, but when you look at a lot of the guys that were brought in there, those are Mike Sherman guys on the offense. Like, Mike Sherman was bringing in some players.
Yeah.
Mike Sherman brought in some players. Was Sherman
and one of the Garrett, best offensive was, lines in the
Was
in
Sherman the Garrett country. Or was Sumlin Garrett?
I don't know that. I don't know.
I think it was Sumlin. Because Garrett came
out. He inherited
Johnny. 16. He inherited Johnny. Johnny was Sherman. Luke Jokel, I believe, was Sherman. Jake Matthews may have been Sherman. Sherman had a lot of the offensive linemen. I want to say Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett had to be something because someone came in 2011.
Yeah, Myles Garrett started at A&M in 2014.
Yeah, Myles Garrett was for sure Kevin Sumlin. That's obvious. Obviously, but a lot of the offensive linemen may have been Sherman.
Yeah.
Those were Sherman guys. Some of them, not all of them. I think Jermaine Effetti was a Sumlin guy. I think Jermaine Effetti was a Sumlin guy. Had to be. Effetti was just drafted 2 years ago. I mean, he couldn't have been. Sumlin's first year was 11. Seta Bowie.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Now, Seta Bowie, I think he was a Sumlin guy also. I mean, he was drafted in.
It's flying by. He was 11. Yeah, you're right. Yep. Well, now it's an a new era. We'll see who Jimbo brings in. I think it'll that will increase as well, the player that you bring in. We'll see how good he is at evaluating. No, that's the biggest issue.
Here's the thing. I wonder if Kellen Mond is safe at quarterback. And I don't think he should be. I think you should always have competition in college football. I don't think, you know what Alabama, what Nick Saban's never said? Oh, we're not recruiting behind you. I mean, you're too good. We would never do that. Oh, well, coach, if you want my son to play here, you're going to have to not recruit any more running backs. Nick Saban will say, oh, no, he can't play for me. Too soft.
Mm-hmm.
Mac did that at Texas. Well, we're not going to recruit. If BJ's going to sign here, then we're not. It's BJ and Sloan and nobody else. We don't need anybody in. Well, if Garrett's going to be here, we're not recruiting any other quarterbacks. Garrett's good. Garrett's great. Garrett's a great quarterback. He's a great kid. No more quarterbacks.
That said,
smart.
Yeah, well, however, like Andrew Luck wanted to go there.
Can I go? Nope. Garrett's here.
Yep. Well, that said, you're not going to have Oliver Luck and Andrew Luck and Garrett Gilbert. But I asked Dana about it, who was recruiting Garrett. He said, dude, Garrett Gilbert was one of the best high school quarterbacks I've ever seen.
Now, my brother actually has told me Garrett was the truth in
with
high
the real
run
deal.
Into. I don't know what happened.
He wasn't developed or whatever happened. But Dana said at the time, I would have taken Garrett Gilbert over Andrew Luck, too.
And look, maybe quarterbacks are a little more, I don't even want to call them divas. I mean, their playing time is very, very valuable. You can have one big year as a running back and get drafted. At quarterback, you got to have a little bit of a, you know, you got to have put together a little bit of a resume.
Yeah.
And I can understand why, because at Alabama, Nick Saban recruits, he's 2 and 3 deep with 4 and 5-star recruits at like every position. And those guys just say, yeah, well, you know, I got to compete for my spot. Backups get drafted at Alabama. Josh Frazier got drafted. So backups get drafted at Alabama, and he has, but then you look at the quarterback position and you think, well, I haven't been a lot of talent at quarterback there. This is the first time you've had, you know, a legit NFL talented dude, really. So we'll see if he has a bunch of, like, if he starts stacking up 5-star quarterbacks, because that is a little bit harder to do, because, you know, young, talented quarterbacks play early in college football now.
Yep. Charles is here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Charles.
Good morning, guys. Wanted to jump in on this Sumlin conversation, man. You know, I'm a coup, right? And Sumlin won with Browse's boys. Case was a Browse recruit.
Yeah.
Manziel was a Sherman recruit. He does excellent with other guys' players. His problem comes when he has to play with his guys, which is I'm shocked that Arizona's won 4 games already this year because they looked like a girls' powder puff team when they came to TDECU. I mean, they looked horrible. So, you know, I don't know what this guy's future is going to be having to play with no talent coming in on board. I mean, there's no really discernible talent on his squad right now, man. I mean, this – for once, he's going to really have to coach. But Sumlin aside, man, y'all were talking about Myles Garrett. And I know occasionally y'all will have Major on to talk about the Cougs. And, man, nobody has kind of pulled him or called him to the carpet about this Ed Oliver thing, man. You got your first 5-star recruit in the history of the men's program. And if you're not going to stand up and protect this guy, you know, this is the second time that we played Navy, and everybody gives them a pass, man, because they're a military school or whatever in the hell. But listen, man, these chop blocks and this crap, they don't happen in a vacuum, man. I mean, somebody's calling for that, and this is the second time that they've tried to end this kid's career, and it's not just Navy. You know, the Sports Center highlight after we played Navy would have been the coach's handshake, not what was going on the field, man. Because I would have had to put that dude in a chokehold. I mean, if you can't protect your number, your only 5-star recruit, talking about recruiting, what is that going to do for the future of the program if your head coach isn't raising hell or making a stink or something like that? If you just brush it under the carpet and have this laissez-faire attitude about everything and you're not raising hell and not calling it to the ref's attention, then it's just going to continue to keep happening, man. If I was Oliver, dude, I'd sit out, man. I'd be done. I was like, you know what, man? If my coach won't support me, if he won't raise hell with other people about what they are clearly doing to me on a regular and consistent basis, then I'm not going to take a risk, man, because he's got millions of dollars on the line. I would not pick up the ball for U of H again. And I would just, next time y'all have Major on, ask him about that, man, because he has not uttered one word, to my knowledge, you know, in deference to the way these guys are playing at Auburn.
I will say this. We did ask him because it was a dirty play. It was a dirty play where Ed Oliver got hurt, and I asked him that Thursday about the hit, and he did glance over it. Now, whether or not he sent the film to the league office, whether or not he admonished the referees on the field, I don't know that. I don't know that we know whether or not he didn't protect that Oliver at all. Once it's done, though, it's done. Now he's saying all the right things about Ed Oliver wanting to be there for his teammates, Ed Oliver on the sideline, saying all of those things. I don't know how, other than, you know, sending it
in. Well, he said raise hell. Like,
right.
I mean, I think Charles is pretty specific. And you may not
go after the Navy guys?
Well, I think it's...
In 2018?
Just, yeah, raise hell.
Well, maybe. I don't know. Or raise hell behind the scenes to the league office and say, look at what Navy's doing here. They hurt an All-American player that the American Athletic Conference needs because of dirty play. And if he's doing that behind the scenes, then that's going to be more effective than doing it in public. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, I think the point is, make sure that players, when you do it in public, speak, I guess, for Charles a little bit here, is you want to keep high-profile recruits coming. You need to make sure that the coach, and once again, I'm saying, I'm
how many people know, though, that Ed Oliver got, and that how many people know this about this? And well, it's not stopping any recruits from coming here because Major Applewhite's not making a stink about this. It's not stopping any recruits from coming here.
Well, I think his point is you got to take care of your players. I don't know what happened behind the scenes. I do know I didn't see Major go bananas publicly or in print anywhere about the block, but it was considered illegal. And a lot of comments were from anonymous sources who said that was a very illegal block.
Yeah.
I'd put my name on it personally.
Right. Well, it was. It was dirty and it was illegal. What is he doing about it? Is he doing something behind the scenes? I would certainly hope so. He's not going to say it here. He's not going to. In 2018, you can't go over the Navy. Okay. You can't go after the Navy. Okay.
You can't?
No.
Not going after the Navy. You're going after a dirty play.
Yeah. Well, we don't do. I don't know if you know this about our troops. We don't do that, okay? So just stop with that kind of talk, with the fake news like that. 848 ESPN 97.5. How about your Rockets?
How about the fun run going on this Saturday? Rockets are in action tonight, so you got that going on. If you want to get tickets, you can obviously go to Rockets.com. And that the Rockets have had plenty of rest. We'll see if Russell Westbrook plays. I'm hoping he doesn't. Maybe those of you, I want to watch Russell play. Guess what? I don't want to see him play. I want to see him not play, and I want to see the Rockets coast to their fourth consecutive win. A team that I like to call the hottest team in the NBA right now is back in action tonight. But don't forget, on Saturday is your chance to get into the action with the Rockets Fun Run. You're going to get a future ticket to a Rocket game, a T-shirt, the after party, and much more. The race ends, whether it's the 1K kids walk, the fun run with this 5K, or the 2K walk, you are going to end at Center Court at Toyota Center. That's a really cool opportunity. It's for a great cause, and you can be part of it out there this Saturday. For more information, go to rockets.com/rocketsrun. That's rockets.com/rocketsrun. You can sign up there. You can get all the information you need, and that gives you a great opportunity to go out there and enjoy yourself and get a future ticket to a game. That's rockets.com/rocketsrun.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 8:54, way behind. You might as well join right now. Are you okay to get into the show 6 minutes early?
Yeah,
without compensation?
My agent will be in touch, Scott Boras.
Oh, you've hired Boras?
Yep.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think negotiations are going to go well.
First we lose Dallas Keuchel, and now it's going to be hard to hang on to Raheel.
Right. Said I'm this generation's Jim Rome and Dan Patrick.
You're not a Swiss Army. Okay, let me ask you guys this. Would you rather have Marwin or Charlie Morton back?
Charlie.
I'm going Marwin.
I believe his name is...
If you don't like 15 and 3, that's fine. Yeah,
Swiss Army G.
Anybody could have got
it. I understand. If you don't like wins and nasty stuff...
Oh, yeah. If you don't like your cleanup hitter that can play every position...
Wait a minute. Isn't Marwin's name...
Marwin?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What's Charlie? Charlie's got an F in his
Charles
name.
Charles Morris. Alfred. No, not Morris. Alfred Morris. Charles Alfred Morton IV.
Yeah. Well, one of them's got Wynn in their name. Okay.
One of them is a blue blood.
Right. Okay. Well, that's because you're uppity. That's why you want
them. Like how this, but it's a lot of recency going on for Marwin. Marwin is like persona non grata for 65% of the year. And then it's like, hey, we like Marwin again. Like, what about Marwin from April to about July?
Yeah, but then what about Marwin?
4 months.
Yeah, what about Marwin?
Do you ever see Charlie just take time off to not win?
Oh, yeah, he took time off to just sit around and do nothing.
Resting his arm for the postseason.
Oh, yeah, his shoulder. Guess what happened? Did he even pitch?
No run support.
Did he even pitch in the postseason? Good Lord.
Wow, I guess Charlie's done here.
No. A Swiss Army knife. That's what I want.
This idea, Chase brought this up. The idea of making Yuli the Marwin, it's not a good
idea. No.
The butcher, I do not have any. The Pina, great. Yeah, pineapple, all that stuff. That guy is a butcher at second base. He can't do what Marwin does.
No.
I think it's going to be a collective effort. Even though he said that, it's going to be collective. So on days that you need somebody in the outfield.
They're talking about maybe Tyler White being that next year.
What?
Yeah.
That's even worse.
Yeah. I mean, Yuli, none of them. Listen, and oh, by the way, again, Marwin ended up being your cleanup hitter, and you're just ready to kick him to the curb. Oh, thanks. Thanks for your loyalty to Marwin. Yeah. Guy who, he saved the season with the home run off Jansen. He saved the season. But you just want to kick him to the curb.
You know Lance ain't loyal. These hoes ain't loyal.
No, that hoe ain't loyal.
Charlie. Trying to be loyal to Charlie Morton won a World Series for you.
Thank you.
That's not loyal.
Oh, no, Marwin won the World Series for you in Game 2 with the home run.
The World Series was won in Game 7.
The game
would have been over if not for Marwin.
The World Series would have been over.
The series up. And guess what? Marwin's didn't win it. All I did was tie. Marwin didn't come through with a winning hit after that.
Would have been over if not for Marwin.
We got to get rid of Marwin. He's the jinx.
He's the jinx that just got you a World Series title.
Feels like the Astros like, that scout's the jinx. Sig is the jinx. Hudgens jinx. Oh, get all these jinx out of here. Everyone's gone. I don't even, is AJ still there? Or did AJ take a job with, is he going back to the Diamondbacks? Is AJ still here?
Yeah, AJ's still here.
Because all of his bench coaches
still
are
in
gone.
Here. He's still putting in McCullers with the bases loaded. Yeah, you go ahead. Hey, go ahead with AJ.
When did this turn so anti-Astro, this segment?
Go ahead.
Luckily, nothing was wrong with Lance. It wasn't announced in August. He didn't know in August that he could only go an inning. So why not put him in the most highest
leverage spot possible?
Yeah.
Bases load World Series. No big deal.
No big.
I don't have a UCL.
Go ahead. Get in there, kid.
ALCS. They didn't get to the World Series.
Yeah. Our World Series.
It was
our American League World Series. It was the World Series, though.
And then Colin McHugh, like, of course.
That series was the World Series, obviously.
Colin McHugh was hurt, I guess. That's why.
No, he was actually
no, he was fun.
He came in later.
He had to get Tommy John on both elbows. That's why
No. He's actually healthy. Yeah, he's healthy.
Your glove hand, you don't need Tommy John, probably.
Then why didn't he put him in?
I don't know.
Maybe he just needed rest. He wasn't warmed
up
yet.
A high wild pitch percentage guy. Let's throw him in there.
Wasn't AJ's finest...
That wasn't his best.
That doesn't feel like an analytics move. No, that wasn't. Honest.
I mean, I think every time AJ asked if Colin McHugh was ready, he said, "No, I'm too busy watching Iron Fist," so he couldn't put him in. Colin McHugh was watching Netflix the entire playoffs.
You think
those bullpen guys?
Yeah,
y'all need me.
Crazy bullpen guys.
Y'all need me. No, nah. Good. I'm good. Okay.
All right.
You're putting Lance in. You know he doesn't have a UCL, right?
I don't know if you heard.
He doesn't have a UCL.
AJ, did you hear?
He's just going to try to snap off a bunch of yackers in the dirt. Oh, and they also have we got a catcher who can't handle them anymore. You sure you want to do this? Bases are loaded,
by the way, a catcher can't catch. Get that curveball guy in there.
Get that sharp snapper in the dirt ready with a guy with a UCL tear and the bases loaded. I love AJ Hinch. That one's never going to make sense.
Ever.
And we're laughing about it. We're not like angry, you know, Red Sox fan. Like, and here's the car has got to go. Like, we're a radio show that laughs. Like, well, I can't believe he did that.
Well
we still love him.
I'm sure he was told, hey, he can't do any more damage. He's out till 2020 anyway. Get as many innings out of him as you can.
I feel like that's when if it goes extras.
Yeah.
Maybe not with a lead.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-3776. Give me the VIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's
easy.
A website.
It's easy to do it there.
Give me the VIN. Can you know how to spell VIN? VIN.com. You don't spell out the dot. You put a period there. GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's what you got where you can sell your car. You can find out what it's worth anyway. Okay? Because John Clay Wolf is going to give you the best price. Otherwise, he's going to pay you $100. If CarMax can beat his offer, he says, I'll send you $100. He buys 2,000 cars a month. If you're selling your vehicle, you got to go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com. And John Clay Wolf will buy that car, or he'll make you the offer. And then you've got it. Now you go to your dealership or whoever is buying your car from you. If you're doing a trade, with somebody anywhere, anytime. Just say, no, this is what it's worth. Sorry, that's what I can get for it. So I'm going to take as much as I possibly can. And you're armed with that. So if you're looking for the best way to sell your vehicle today, GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com. And listen to John Clay Wolf Saturday mornings right here on ESPN 97.5.